When I, every time I read this text from James and John, the story of them coming and asking Jesus to do whatever they want him to do, I'm struck by, first of all, the fact that Jesus would actually entertain the notion that maybe he would give them what they wanted. I am shocked by that. These disciples who have time and time again shown themselves to be pretty much knuckleheads, and here they come saying, we want you to do for us whatever we want. And Jesus says, well, okay, what is it? What do you want? And they ask to sit at his right and his left hand in his glory, and Jesus actually takes it seriously. He says, ah, that's a really hard thing you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they say, we are able. And he says, you will be, and you are able, but that's not for mine to grant. As if to say, if it were mine to grant, I would grant it maybe to you, but it's not mine to grant you. This is a stunning thing. How many of us would be so bold as to ask God for exactly what we want? Anybody? But this is why I love James and John. They really are, you know, they want to be powerful. They're really thinking about Jesus is going to be the Messiah. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to be the king. He's going to be like David, and we're going to be his Secretary of State and his Secretary of War. I don't know what. Something like that. That's what they have in mind. At least in terms of what Jesus responds to them. He says, you guys are thinking about greatness. That's not what this is about. So he says, I can't give that to you. That is granted only to those for whom it has been prepared. And you know who it's been prepared for, to sit at your right hand and your left hand in your glory. Where is Jesus' glory? The cross. And there's already two people, one on his right and one on his left. The disciples don't know that yet. But that's why Jesus says it's been prepared for someone else. But what I love is that it is actually, as I said, James and John, their model is, it's a model for us to ask God for what we want. To say, I want the most outrageous thing. And see what Jesus does with it. I just heard this morning this outrageous request that Jesus heal somebody who's really sick and really dying, and the response finally was, I got this. And it happened. Stunning. Beautiful. Right? How often do we not ask for the desires of our heart? And then, when we don't, how is God supposed to transform the desires of our heart? Like he does with James and John. So I think it's really great. Go and ask for what you want. And then listen for how Jesus is interacting with that desire. And maybe transforming the desires of our heart to be, like in the prayer of the day, the will of God. And nothing but the will of God. So that's the first piece of that that really is just striking to me. And it sets up the whole thing of Jesus and his teaching saying, you know, you're thinking about the way the world thinks about greatness. But that's not so among you. You are to be the reflection of the kingdom of God, which I know we've heard for 2 weeks about the kingdom of God. Pastor Boyle preached about the kingdom of God for 2 weeks straight, and I loved it. But he said, so Jesus says, this is not the kingdom of God to be chasing after power, but to be the least and to be the servant of all. Well, the kingdom of God isn't something, as Patton Boyle said, it's not something to be understood, but it is something to be experienced. So, you all know that I've been gone for a couple of weeks, and Virginia and I went to a couple of different places. It was great. We went to Zion and saw the majestic grandeur of God, and we went to see our grandchildren. What a great gift. And I got to play softball, and that was a blast. I think a gift of God, too. And But that's not the place I saw the kingdom of God. You want to know the place I saw the kingdom of God? You're never going to believe this. Las Vegas. Las Vegas, of all places, right? So what happened was the last day of our tournament got rained out, so we had an extra day. So I have cousins in Las Vegas, and so we called and made arrangements, and off we went to visit her. Marie, who is a little older than I am, and then my other cousins, Johnny and Leah, who are a little younger than I am. Johnny and Leah are developmentally disabled. They have been since they were born, and they're blind, and they are they're like kids, and beautiful. And actually, if you think about when Jesus says you must receive the kingdom of heaven like a child, Johnny and Leah, that's how they are. They're just loving to everybody. In fact, Marie told them that I was coming. They said, Paul's coming to visit. And they had in their mind, Johnny and Leah did, Uncle Paul, my dad, who everybody loved in the family. And they were so excited. Among other things, they thought he was dead. And he is. But they were just like, oh, Uncle Paul is coming to visit. And Marie said, no, not Uncle Paul. Uncle Paul's son, Paul. Paul Kevin. Which was how they distinguished me from my dad, Paul Kevin. And Leah looks at Marie and says, but Marie, we love him too, don't we? And Marie says, yes. She says, oh good, he's coming to visit us. That's Leah. So we get there and we have a great time. We visit Marie in her house, and Marie had the kids, had Johnny and Leah in her house for a while, taking care of them, but they found this other place, and this other place is one of the things I want to tell you about. It's called, they work at a place called Opportunity Village, which is, if you've ever been in a hotel room with little packets of sugar and creamer and stir in one little packet, that's the work that Johnny and Leah do right now. They fill those little packets full of stuff. It's what they can do. They don't have to see. They can get it. That's their job. Okay, Opportunity Village is where they work. They get great dignity out of their work. Then they started this thing, it's called Betty's Village, which is the housing around this Opportunity Village. It's a huge place. 180 people can live in this place that's called Betty's Village, and it's called Betty's Village because a woman named Betty donated a bunch of money for it. It's absolutely, you walk in there and it's absolutely stunning, beautiful. And everybody in there is developmentally or physically disabled and just absolutely an amazing place. So we walk into Johnny and Leah's place, and it's a fourplex. It's a four-bedroom place, along with a beautiful living room and a kitchen and a dining area. And Johnny and Leah are so excited to show us around. So we're going into Johnny's room, and Johnny's room is huge. It's huge. It's a huge room. Okay. Beautiful bathroom, everything. And then he says, wait till you see my closet. And open up the closet, and I walk in and I said, Johnny, you're right, this is amazing. You could house a family of four in this closet. And he laughs and he goes, wait till you see our pantry. And he shows us the pantry. It's huge. It's amazing place. And it's beautifully done and cared for, and all there's caregivers in there and everything. Everything is set to take care of all of these people who have these one limitation or another. And that is like, oh, this is how it is. This is what Jesus understands by taking care of the least and the most vulnerable. It is to put them right at the middle of it and do everything you can for them and be blessed when you're with them. It's just absolutely amazing. So that's one of the things that happened in Las Vegas. And then they have this whole big baseball program for all these kids are on a different teams. There's 16 teams. And there's probably 15 kids on each team, and they play once a week at this field that they built to play baseball on. It's not baseball like you and I have ever seen it before. Everybody in the outfield is sort of just, they're either playing catch or doing something, talking to each other while the people at bat are batting. And the people who are batting, some of them can't see, some of them are in wheelchairs, some of them can barely walk, but they all get a chance at bat. And they all have their name up on this big, their face and their name are up on this big board, right? It's like it's a professional thing. And they each have their own song when they come up to the plate. And this song comes blaring out and they come dancing out to it, you know, it's they're up. And it's like they are celebrities, and they are. This is great stuff. Remember, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That they are the ones who are at the center. You remember in Revelation where the Lamb is at the center of heaven, right? The Lamb, the slain one, the one who was broken, the one who has been bruised, the one that we heard about from Isaiah, is right at the middle of heaven. And the kingdom of God is simply that on earth, putting the most vulnerable in the middle. And see what happens. And this is what happens. Joy and love and amazing stuff. Transformation of lives. Kids who know kids. I say they're kids. They're as young, they're as old as I am. But they act. That's what I always think of Johnny and Lee as kids. But people who in other places, in other avenues in this world, are either shunned or put in other places that so we don't have to see them, they've come right at the center of this thing. And it is stunning. So then there's another guy named John who was a big advocate for all of this, the whole village. And he's a lawyer and he did the legal work and he did all this stuff. And he was so amazed at what was going on that he said, you know what? Here's how you can pay me. Let me live there. I want to live there. And he's there. And he does all this stuff. He's the one that organizes the baseball. He's the one that takes them every night, gathers up everybody, and takes them out on an evening walk. Just to get them outside. Right? And he's the manager of the baseball team. And he's all excited about every single person, whatever they're doing. This guy has been transformed. This guy knows what it's like to be the servant of all. It's beautiful. And that guy and his transformation and that guy and his work brings us to Dane. Because Dane has been called to new work. He has been called to be with young people in the LGBTQ community who are struggling. Because, you know, it's hard enough as a teenager to deal with your sexuality. And if your sexuality or your orientation doesn't match what's going on in the rest of the world, which the most, like, right down the middle stuff, it's hard enough to be right down the middle, straight, and all of that. But if it doesn't match that, it's really hard. It can be really hard. And it's made worse by misunderstanding and by hostility towards and all of that stuff. These are kids who need support. And that's what Dane's going to do. He's going to be like John. And go and give support to young people as they go through all the hard things of being a teenager. And he's doing that as part of the church, which is just beautiful. Right? This is going to be a youth group, a church youth group. And there's going to be a drop-in center where people who are struggling can just drop in and receive, be received, and be served. This is important work. And so he's going to be going and developing that for the sake of this community in Wenatchee. Beautiful. So we're going to say goodbye to him at the end of this service. What we want to say is, may he reflect the kingdom of God in his work in this coming year and in the years to come. in the way that we have seen it happen, in the way that I saw it happen in Las Vegas, you know, where people who otherwise are kind of put on the side are smack dab in the middle, at the center of our attention and of our love and of our compassion and of our grace and more of God's attention and God's grace and God's compassion. The kingdom of God. That's what it is. And the more we live into it, the more we want to live into it, the more we want to be in it, the more we want to say, you know what? Wow, being a lawyer is pretty good, but hanging out with those folks, that's life. So, let us continue to pray for Dane as he is doing his work in Wenatchee. Let us, as I said, we're going to give him a farewell, ascending in, towards the end of the service here. And may we also keep our eyes open for the opportunities to see the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to explain it. You can see it. And you can experience it. Thanks be to God.